Trending Mobile Technology, episode 103, hosted right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. This is the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, and I am your mobile host with the mobile podcast of Trending Mobile Technology, right here, as always, right now. And I'm not here alone. Today, I bring one longtime departed guest. He is returning back to Trending Mobile Technology. He is returning back to the Trending Topics Network. My neighbor from across the pond, it has been a very long time, sir, fellow podcast host, fellow technology enthusiast, fellow Apple fan, as well as gaming consultant and podcast and extraordinaire, whatever you want to use it. Obi-Wan Jabroni, welcome back to the show, sir. How are you today?
I'm very good today, this morning. We're doing an early one.
Well, not for you. For me, it's early. Not for you.
But yeah, for me, it's 11 o'clock. 11:24, actually. A.M. But yeah, doing good. Happy belated 100th episode.
Thank you.
That means you've been doing the podcast for what, 2 years now? Maybe.
I took a summer off, but it's been a little over 2 years. If you look at it as 52 episodes a year, I haven't quite hit the full 2 year mark. But as chronology goes, it's been 2 years fairly consistently.
Well, that's good because a lot of shows don't go over 100 and. I'm glad that you're still doing it.
Thank you.
A lot of podcasts still, they give up and they can't commit to it every week. For example, my co-host or host, he can't commit to it every week, so that's fine. Everyone's got obligations. So
yeah, he's got real life that deals him a crappy hand regularly, yeah. I commend him because he is keeping his priorities straight. I mean, you can't fault anybody for making sure that everything stays the way it's supposed to, and life stays the way in perspective the way that it's supposed to as well. And I can't fault anybody for that. But the talk of today, Obi-Wan, you are an advocate for Apple.
Yes, and some people might call it a fanboy.
maybe, and we'll get into why I say maybe.
I want to just quickly address the whole fanboy. So I just cut you off, but I just want to this whole fanboyism. Now I just want to say, I do own an Android device. Actually, right. I own a Nexus tablet,
and that is why you are maybe a fanboy. Okay, if you had the MacBook, the iPhone, the iPad, okay, and which then yep. maybe another Mac, like an Apple TV or something like that.
I have a Chromecast.
And there's another one. There's another maybe. Okay, so as the classification of fanboy, at least over here, is where it just totally consumes your life. Now. Yeah. Some people look at me and say, oh, yeah, you're an Android fanboy. I've got my Nexus 6. I've got my Nexus 7. But if you flip it around, I also have an iPad. I also have my MacBook Air. I do have a Chromecast, but I've already polluted the ecosystem a little bit.
Yeah, I will tell you quickly why I do have a Chromecast versus Apple TV, which, by the way, has gone down in price. Exactly for that reason. I just thought, well, what I'm using it for, just for streaming, mm-hmm. just for streaming off a website to watch Raw and SmackDown every week, right. I don't need an Apple TV for that. I'm sorry. No. I can't justify that cost.
It's beautiful, too. I mean, you can't get any more simple than the Chromecast.
Exactly. And it does. It works. It really does work. And for what it does for me, it's great.
Yep. And a lot of people say the exact same thing.
One thing, though, it won't stream. It only works on Chrome, but, that's fine.
Right, yeah, you can't even stream Amazon movies with it without some type of lag.
Yeah.
But, in most cases, You know, six one way, half dozen another. I look at it from the perspective, well, I always watch TV with the captions on anyway, and usually the sound is really loud, or I don't, you know, I'm not worried about syncing the lips to what they're saying and stuff like that. So
since Apple TV has gone down now, it's like $70 now.
Yeah,
I might just pull the trigger on it. You know,
wait, because there's supposed to be a revamp this year.
Open it up, aren't they?
There's supposed to be a revamp.
Yeah.
Okay. There's supposed to be another app. There's been talks, and we're going to get into this more. There's been talks that there's going to be an Apple TV revamp. Now, whether this is fact or fiction, I don't know, but it is still early 2015, Obi. Remember, we're still in April, okay? We've got a ways to go.
We'll be coming up.
Yeah, exactly. See, so we've still got technology season to go through. I mean, Apple's going to be having their fall press event, which they'll be announcing the new iOS and whatever else they announce. You know, their new iPad line, their new iPhone line, et cetera. You know, so just be patient. I mean, yeah. I know the price is coming down, and I know it's tempting, but to be completely honest, and this is the cheapskate in me, $70 for a set-top box is still too much. Okay.
Versus like $34 I paid for Chromecast.
Yeah, it's still too much. $70 is still too much. I looked at Chromecast and said, $35? Take my fucking money.
Yep. That's the same thing. I did the same thing. You know? I didn't even think about it, you know?
But I mean, for a streaming device, if I wanted the one leg up that Apple TV gives you over everything else is mirroring, it gives you complete access to the iTunes movie store.
Yeah, and it's got mirroring. I suppose that's a bonus, though. I mean,
yeah, but I can. I've got that little adapter where I can plug it into my laptop and stream HDMI straight out of my laptop to my TV.
Yeah, I suppose an adapter.
And I do it all the time, and it annoys the hell out of the wife because I'll be sitting there working on a project, having four screens going at once. They all have different information. And she wants to watch TV, and she can't because I'm using the TV as a computer monitor, you know? Or I'm using it to edit video, or I'm using it to edit a podcast or something like that, you know? And it's just I don't need that type of streaming capability, you know? And then you got to take into consideration the lag, and, you know, it just – $70 is just – it's still too much for me. Still too much.
Yeah.
If you want a streaming device,
still 70. Hopefully, you know.
Go again on that.
I hopefully if they revamp it, you know, this sometime this year, at the end of this year, then it's still the same price. Because then I wouldn't, you know, it's a newer model. I won't mind, you know. The rumor is apparently they're going to open it up to games and stuff. So I don't know if they're going to do that.
Yeah, the thing is, though, with the set-top box industry is you think about it this way. Chromecast is about $35. Roku is about $40, I think. Even the older versions of the Roku, you know, they're coming down in price as well. And for more information concerning cord cutting, set-top boxes, and streaming, check out episode 102 where Mr. Old School and I literally broke the hell out of cord cutting. He introduced me to a new XBMC version called Kodi. We talked about that for over an hour, and lots of good information as far as that goes, and lots of good ways that he introduced to me that I didn't know were out there. Okay, I mean, Mr. Old School from Canada, he became a cord cutter out of necessity. I became a cord cutter because I was tired of the cable company sticking it to me every month. Okay, and you know, $70 for a set top controller when there are other devices that are out there that do virtually the same thing. I still can't justify that. Sorry, Obi.
No, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, like you said, you're getting the, all you're getting is a few more extra bells and whistles on the Apple TV. You're getting the nice menu, the iTunes, you're getting mirroring. I mean, that's about it, really. I mean, you're not getting anything else, and you're paying more for it. No, I don't think I'll agree with you. I mean, even games consoles these days have the whole... They have their services too, like, you know, the whole cord cutting stuff. They've got their own apps now. So, you know. But you're paying, obviously, more. You're paying double, even three times more for a games console, you know.
Yeah, but see, the games console, you've got, well, just example, with Xbox. So
but that's what they want there. Like, Microsoft, they want you to have it as a... They want you to connect your TV to it because... They want it as an all-in-one device. That's what they've turned into now. And I just feel as though, well, it used to be like that, but we got to move on, right?
Yeah, technology is going to continue moving forward. And back in the day when everything used to be console, you know, you went out and you bought yourself a CD player to throw it in your rack system at home for your stereo. And you went and got your VCR and threw that in there. And you went and got your Betamax and threw that in there. And then you had to upgrade your amplifier for your speakers and new speakers and in-home speakers and the Dolby speakers and all that kind of good stuff. You know, the objective of Microsoft, I think, at this point is to eliminate all that and unify all of it under one one unit, basically.
Even Sony as well. I mean, Sony.
Their PlayStation is going places.
Their PlayStation brand, actually. Their PlayStation, their PS1 console was way ahead of its time because it could play music CDs.
Oh, yeah.
I do remember that.
Yes, it did.
And the PS2 was, for a lot of people, it was their first DVD player.
Mm-hmm.
So the PlayStation consoles have always been ahead of their time. I mean, for a lot of people, when they moved on to the PS3, yes, it was an expensive Blu-ray player, but for a lot of people, it was their first Blu-ray player.
Why? Because it was a PlayStation, and that's what they had all their lights sunk into.
It had that brand, you know, of Sony and PlayStation. It's a recognized brand. But, we've kind of got off the rails.
That's okay. That's okay. That's the beauty of this, because it's my show and I can take whatever direction I want to. We did a little bit of talking, Obi, and I know that we've talked on this a little bit in the past, right, and we talked about it even this morning a little bit. The Apple iWatch, sir, I know you have quite a bit of frustration concerning this device. You and I have reviewed just briefly a little bit of what's going on. But right now, I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to give the floor to you and permit you opportunity to state your piece. And then we'll review and discuss it some more, okay?
Yep, I'll go through it quickly. So when they first announced it way back when, I sent you an email saying, I mean, how are they going to sell this thing? Are they going to sell it all separately? And it turned out I was right. They're going to sell it all these models, which was confusing. And I walked away from that website, and I was very confused. I mean, I'm like, are they going to sell all these bands? Like, are they just going to have models, or are they going to have these separately? I mean, they must have a big warehouse to store these things, right? These watches, all these watches. 38 models, people, of these watches. And I think a lot of people as well, there's going to be a lot of confusion with the models, and I think a lot of people are going to walk, you know, they're going to think, is this a standalone product? I mean, fair enough, it probably does say on the box somewhere in small print, yeah, you need is it a 5S? You need a 5S Plus?
No, I believe it's 6. Let me double check, make sure.
You need an iPhone 5. I'm sure you need an iPhone 5 and above to use this thing. So, you know, I just think there's too many models. And the pricing is way, like, they've got, like, from entry-level pricing up to, what, 17 grand, I want to say?
10 grand US.
Yeah, and it's pretty. So they started off from $250 way up to 17 grand, and I just think, with the sport one, which is the low entry one, I think that's going to sell the most. And then you've got your middle one, which with the stainless steel, which I was looking at. They're the ones that I like, actually, because stainless steel and I think it was sapphire they use for the face. And,
yes.
But the pricing, again, it's just, I can't justify a stainless steel watch in black, stainless steel, mind you, and a black bracelet band for, this is UK pounds, 900, and that's for 38 millimeter. Again, and they've got different face sizes. I can't help but feel you have to go into an Apple store to try this thing. And I'm going to say right now, I am not, I'm interested, don't get me wrong, because, you know, these things look like nice, but I can't justify the cost for a watch. I can't. And it needs charging.
Yeah.
It's, you know, wearables are popular right now. I can't help but feel as well that Apple maybe comes with a bit late as well. Maybe, you know, because these things have been around for what, 2 years now? Wearables?
Yeah. Wearables have been around for a little bit. Apple, when Apple first announced their wearable, they put the technology world on end because everybody was just like, oh my goodness. As a matter of fact, I went back into the archives and reviewed when they initially announced the watch. You and I spoke about it. And we both agreed this is going to come out. It's going to be sexy, and everybody is going to like it.
Yeah,
and we even sat here and we dickered back and forth as to how much we would spend on this device, thinking that it was going to be a reasonable expenditure. And then
I thought it was going to be the sport one was going to be at least $200.
I didn't think it was going to be as much as it was. They blew me out of the water when they completely lost me when they told me the price. Okay, they started to lose me when they introduced it as a Dick Tracy watch. Okay, you can use it as a phone. Or, you know, now granted, I understand it utilizes Bluetooth to sync with your device. Okay.
Yes.
But you still have the whole thing where you're answering the call on your wrist and you're talking into your wrist like a phone. If I want to put a damn phone on my wrist, I'll put a damn phone on my wrist. A watch is a watch. The phone is on my hip. End of story.
And
that's me, though. That's me.
I'm surprised they've not got some sort of wireless charging as well. It uses a cable.
Yeah, I kind of raised my eyebrows on that one, too. I mean, a Thunderbolt to charge it when you've got phones that are, you know, that do twice what that watch does, and they've got coils built into them. I mean, really?
Yeah. I mean, I watched recently, actually, I think it was just the other day, is it iFixit? They did a teardown of it, and it seems they're using standard parts. So changing your watch strap is standard, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else, they're using standard stuff for it. I think this is one of these where, like any first gen, Apple stay away pretty much. I think it's one of these, wait for the second gen, maybe third gen, you know. I think by the time second gen or third gen come out, they're going to work out the kinks and hopefully we'll have wireless charging.
This is going to go back to the conversation we just got done with Obi concerning set-top boxes. Okay, if you want me to entertain this, you've got to make it cost effective. And sorry, a price range of 300 US to 10,000 US, that's too big, too
and
much.
They're all the same.
I don't care if the $10,000 watch. Go ahead.
Just imagine you go to the store, you're getting the 18 karat one, for example, and they, you know, I mean, how would that work? I mean, would you get some Apple employee all dressed up nice in a business suit and taking you behind the velvet ropes and giving you top notch service to buy an 18 karat gold watch? And it just looks that, you know, the innards are just the same as the sport one. You know, I don't know who would buy that. I don't know who that one's for. Obviously, it's for, you know, people who got too much money.
I was going to say, the people that would buy that device are the ones that want to make a financial statement.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the type of thing. It's going to be the type of thing, too, where they buy it. And it's not going to be, you know, how a lot of businessmen, they'll put a watch on them, they'll pull their cufflinks over the top to kind of stick it inside their jacket. No, 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 no. This watch is going to be a statement. It's going to be, I've got more money in my back pocket than I can flinch at. Now,
Oh, yeah.
Well, you yeah, try I mean, and impress me.
You know, I just, I, I lost my train of thought. But I think this edition watch, you know, the 18 karat gold one, I think, you know, it's available in limited quantities.
Yeah.
So there's only so much gold to go around. It's only available in certain Apple stores. And I think this is a rumor. I don't think this is confirmed. But apparently there's going to be a trading program for this thing because obviously, you know, if someone buys this, then a year or two down the line, if they release another watch, Apple's going to have to trade that. You know, they're going to have to do some sort of trading program, right? I mean, they're not.
You know, A, gold is so soft. B, it tarnishes. I mean, yeah, sure, it's a precious metal, but I don't know. It screams gaudy to me. It screams unfunctional, all right? That's what I'm thinking of. It screams unfunctional. Why? Okay, now granted, understand this. I'm not the president and CEO of a company. I don't have more money than I'll ever spend in my lifetime or somebody else's, okay? I don't make 8, 9, or 10 digits figures a year, whether it be US or sterling, okay? So therefore, I would look at something like this and justify it in saying, this isn't for me. Even if, Obi, I had the means to acquire this device, I still would not. Because
it's a watch.
It's a watch.
It literally is just a watch.
It's a fucking watch.
Yeah, it's I just can't justify it. I mean, like I said, I really like the stainless steel black ones, but I can't justify the cost. Because we're talking £900, sterling, and it's like that's the price of a freaking MacBook, you know?
Yeah. Well, we did the conversion in the pre-show, and £900 sterling is over $1,100 US.
Yeah.
Okay, and $1,100 US. Is the price of the new MacBooks,
right?
Okay?
Which we're going to get into.
Yeah, which we'll get into that as well. Yeah, but I'm just saying, what do I want to do? Do I want something that's going to be stuck on my wrist? It's 3 inches, or do I want something that I'll be able to powerhouse with and do, you know, everything else I want to with? You know, do you want to limit your options? You know, and once again, it's a statement thing, okay? Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to go on record here and say I've got the money to spend on this stainless steel watch. I do, and I want to make that clear. But do I want to? No, because it's just a watch, and I know it's in a year it's going to be, you know, it's going to be outdated.
Right.
And I've got an iPad. I've still actually got an iPad first gen.
Mm-hmm.
Still, and it's useless now.
Yeah.
So I am not. I refuse to get bit again.
Any interest in, anything in your mind watching this with interest, keeping advised of future releases for the watch?
Definitely. I'm going to let other people buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly, you know, Twit staff, Leo, and see what they're saying about it and reviews. I think it's going to do very well for them, especially the sport one because that's entry level prices. I don't think people really care about spending $300 on a watch. I think that's what you'd probably pay for a good classy watch anyway.
Yeah, you would, but at the same time, you know,
it is Apple. Though.
It's Apple. I mean, don't get me wrong. You're paying for a brand name, and I understand that 100%. Dealing in marketing like I have over the past few years, I understand what, you know, if you wanted to say Apple or Samsung or Motorola or LG or Nike or whatever – it's brand placement, okay? You're going to pay X amount just because it says this name, okay?
Yeah, and
you're
going to have sell. That. It will sell, especially the sport one, because they've already got commercials for it now on TV.
Right, yeah.
So they're getting it out there. The word's getting out there. I just think with this one, though, because it's they've never done a fashion accessory before, I think with this one, if anyone is going to buy, I think you've got to go into the store. You have to go into the store and try it. You can't.
Yes, you do. They will not sell these in carrier stores.
No.
So if you live someplace in like where there is no Apple store accessible, guess what? Sorry about your damn luck.
You're You have to do it online. And,
yep.
The thing is, online is, like I said, they've got these two sizes. They've got 38 mil and 42 mil.
Yep.
It's like, which one do you get? It's very, it's one of these where if you've got an Apple store near you, you have to go in there to do a try-on. And they are doing try-on sessions, I believe, now.
Right.
So.
There's actually a write-up that I read earlier this week where there is, do you guys have lunch trolleys over there? We call them taco vans here because, you know, they drive a van up to a parking lot, usually at a construction site, and they sell tacos.
Food trucks,
that's it, exactly. There's supposed to be a truck that's for the Apple Watch.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if this is fact or fiction. It might have been an April Fool's joke because April 1st was, you know, earlier this week. And I sifted through more shit in my inbox than I care to admit for April Fool's jokes. But you know, and I read an April Fool's story released by Apple's PR department. So this with the lunch truck scenario might be another April Fool's story. However, that kind of makes sense, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because if it hits the airwaves, hey, you know, the closest Apple store to me is 3 hours away. Do I want to make that trip? Fuck no. But, hey, guess what? Today, from noon to 5 at the mall, is going to be the Apple truck. I mean, really? Obi, let me tell you something. So, you've got a shopping center over there. How close are you to the nearest Apple store? You don't have one, do you?
I live in Bolton, and the nearest one to me is Manchester in Trafford Centre. So it's probably about an hour.
Okay.
Traffic, probably half an hour, actually.
So what if you were to hear on the radio that tomorrow's Sunday, so 6 April, which is Monday, all right, the Apple truck was going to be less than a mile from your residence?
I'd go.
You'd go.
I would. To see what these watches are like, the build quality. Or, you know, because ordering online, it's convenient, but then what about if I don't like the thing? I've got to send it back.
Mm-hmm.
You have 14 days to send it, you know, to send it back.
Right.
I don't want to go for that crap. Who wants to go for that crap? I mean, not that I'm going to buy this thing. I'm really not. I am tempted, but I'm going to stay away from it. I will admit. I don't think it's for me, especially this first gen. Gonna wait it out, you know, and I hate to say it because it does look cool to me, but again, at the end of the day, it's a watch that I'm gonna be charging, what, every day?
Every day, yeah. I think it's only got a 12-hour battery in it, maybe a 20-hour battery.
Yeah, screw that. And I'm gonna be charging my phone every day, too.
Yeah.
With the freaking Bluetooth getting right.
It's Thunderbolt, so it's not like a Qi charger, right?
No. No, because Qi is that's the standard. But
Apple Watch will have an 18-hour battery in it.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait until next year. Until, you know, I wish they would go on a 2-year cycle on this thing, but wishful thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So you're telling me that if an Apple truck showed up less than a mile away from your residence,
I'd check it out.
You'd check it out, but you still wouldn't pull the trigger.
No, I won't pull the. And I can guarantee it, they won't have any 18 karat gold watches there. Because if they did, they'd have to have security as well. But
be a fucking armored truck.
Yeah. No, I'd go check it out and see what the watches are like, see how they feel, and you know. But I don't think I'd pull the trigger.
Okay. Yeah, I did this. I looked at this, and I remembered when the initial drawings came out. You know, you remember how we were talking about the clear, flexible band and how it was going to look like a bracelet, and the design looked a little off, but I mean, it still looked good. It looked sexy. It had that Apple finesse.
Yeah, I think Tim Cook was very. I watched his body language on stage. And he was very excited because, you know, Steve Jobs, you know, has been gone for a long time now. This is his first product that he's launched on, you know, him there now.
That's been Steve his. Jobs. Yes, that Steve is Jobs. His first pet project. Yes,
it's not got the Steve Jobs stamp of approval, and I think he's very proud. He's proud to do that, and they're launching their first ever products outside Steve Jobs, and you know, I'm happy for the guy. I mean, I hope it does well for him, but no, I don't think it's for me. Well, not this gen anyway, not the first gen.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I'm definitely a thumbs down on this one too.
It does look cool, though, I will say. It does, I mean, the looks of it is, and I know there's other smartwatches out there because I've researched it before we came on, and they look ugly, the other ones, the Pebble and whatever, the Samsung Gear, is it? I don't know. And
yeah, the Samsung Gear, Galaxy Gear, nice. Well, it's not Galaxy anymore, it's just the Samsung Gear. Yeah. And then there's the Gear Sport and the Gear Fit, and they've got
they look too Casio type watch for my liking. The Apple Watch kind of looks very classy, but I just can't justify that material cost of it.
Yeah, I sure can't. Yeah, this one's a no go for me, whichever way. I mean, if for nothing else, the price. B, you know, or the second thing is it's just. It's a first gen. Okay. Now let me back up a little bit. Yes, I did buy a first gen titanium when it first came out because I was in AV and audio video editing and stuff like that. And back in those days, it was a necessity. As soon as they announced the G4, everybody was on it because it was the machine for nonlinear video editing. And so that's what I jumped on. Now that we're 20 years down the road and I'm looking, or I'm sorry, 10 years down the road and I'm looking at stuff like this, I'm just like, yeah, you know, it's a glorified watch. I'm going to have to charge the thing every damn night. You know, I can't justify this one. I mean, I can't justify how it would fit into my life, how it would work. I mean, if I want a fitness tracker, I've got one built into my Nexus 6. Okay. Yeah. I have Google Fit hardwired into the Nexus programming, which I didn't realize that I did. I stumbled across it by accident, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
And so I started using that.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is actually pretty cool. And you can pair a fitness tracker with it, you know, so you can track your heartbeat and track your sleep cycles and track, you know, all this and everything else. And I'm just like, really? No. All I do, take my phone. If I'm going to go out for a run, drop it in my pocket, off I go. Okay? I've got my headphones. It controls my music when I'm out there. If I'm going to go to the gym, you know, put it on my belt and off I go. Toss it on my hip. Done. You know, I don't need a watch to give me these extra – no, yeah, sorry. I can't justify it.
I can see some useful applications, though. Not to turn this into the Apple Watch show, but I mean, I can imagine some apps out there giving you a good, you know, second screen information. Like, we've got a lot of second screen stuff going on now with
it's a 3-inch screen, Obi. What good information are you going to get on a second screen on a watch?
Well, you could get, I suppose you get different notifications and I don't know. I think what it is with this, I think it's for a niche market as well. I mean, I think it's going to say, you know, it's for those people who don't want to take their phone out of their pocket, maybe their phone's in a different room half the time, you know, things like that. My phone's always on me, so it's kind of like, well, I don't need it as well. I don't need this in my life right now. And I'm with you on it. I don't need this. It's overpriced. Too many models. That's my, you know, the whole issue with me. There's way too many models. It's way confusing. I mean, and I consider myself pretty intermediate user, an Apple user.
Right.
And it's confusing for me. It really is. It's like, I'm still confused about it. And it's just, every time I go on that Apple Watch website, I just go away thinking, because I didn't realize that. I'll tell you this real quick. The 38 and the 42 millimeter size, I thought that was the size of the strap. I had no idea it was the face of the watch.
It's related to the face.
I've just realized this now, and it's so confusing.
Yeah. You brought up a very good point, Obi, you know, as a notification device.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something. You don't have a wearable device, is that correct? You have just your phone?
I just have just the phone.
Okay, so if let's say you're out to tea with an associate of yours, okay? Your phone is in your pocket, whether it be breast pocket for a suit, back pocket, on your hip, however you carry your phone normally. It vibrates, signaling a notification. Is it proper for you to draw your phone and check it?
No, That's rude, isn't it?
Okay. So, counterwise to that, let's factor in the Apple Watch, all right, as a notification device. Again, you're out to tea with a business associate. Your phone is wherever you carry it, we'll presume in this case under a suit jacket. It vibrates, signaling a notification. Is it still rude to check your watch for that notification?
No, because you could just glance at it and just pretend you're checking the time, you know? I don't think that's as impolite to do that, you know, because a lot of people do that. They'll just, like, kind of just glance, oh, I'll just check the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, while we've been talking now, actually, I've got a few notifications. Like, I got a missed call from someone. I see an email that came through, one email from Amazon. If I had the watch, I could have just glanced at it, you know? It says it's picking up my phone now.
There's two different ways to look at that. There was an article that was published by the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago with notifications, wristwatch notifications. Is it getting rude to check your watch?
Well, so, I don't know about you, but I don't see people wear watches these days. I really don't.
Yeah.
People pretty much just, it's all on the phone now. Like the time, the alarms, everything. True. People don't wear watches anymore.
True.
And I think Apple are really gonna, I think they might have just hit the ball out of the park with this one, you know?
Right. Okay, so we've been stuck on the Apple Watch for at least 30 minutes. I'm going to look at this and say, I think Apple has a long way to go before they're going to impress me with this device. Okay? I think they have a long way to go.
Yeah, I think I'll let the early adopters kind of take the hit first, though.
Right.
I'm going to observe it, and I'm going to keep my eye on it. Do I want one? Yes. I just can't justify it.
See, this is where we differ. I don't. I have no desire for this device.
I think it's really cool, but
I think it's cool, yes, but I have no desire for this device at all. So we'll have to revisit this as the next iteration comes out and the one after that.
No, next time you speak to him, I might have caved in and got one. I hope not, because I've said on this show, I'm determined to not get one, and, you know, I hope I can stick to my guns on it, because I just hope Leo from Twitter doesn't come out and say, oh, this is the greatest watch ever, you know, because that will make me want the thing.
We'll have to see. If you happen to cave and break down with it, I will expect a review from you concerning this device. But until then, I will just watch and see. I'm not necessarily going to watch with interest, but I'm just going to watch and see what happens. Second item on the agenda is the new MacBook. We touched on this a little bit in the pre-show. One plug to rule them all. You're a Lord of the Rings fan, aren't you, Obi?
I'm not, no.
No? Okay. No. So, Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien, seven rings to seven kings, one ring to rule them all, and now it looks like that same concept, despite the 7 or 8 years that it's been in cinema, is now slopped over into the MacBook, where you have the USB 3, which is one plug to rule them all. I'm not sold on this because, A, if you have one plug, that means you need a hub to do more than one thing on your computer.
And by the way, let me just say, that adapter does not come with this 1100 MacBook.
No, it doesn't.
Which is absolutely fucking pathetic.
It's asinine. It is dumb. It is stupid. It's retarded. I mean, now, I understand Apple, they've got the proprietary market on this, but third-party vendors, they're going to come in their jeans over this one. Not even joking. Because they have an opportunity to build all these little bullshit hubs to carry around. I mean, the little unpowered USB hubs, those are apeshit crazy. You know? 10, 15 bucks and you can get this or that or whatever. Apple's selling it for 30, 40, 50 bucks. But if you want to do more than one thing with your MacBook, you need one of these because it's one port to do all of it. And I'm sorry, I'm not sold on that. This is a definite no-go for me. What happens? What do you do if that port decides to crap out?
Yeah.
Then and, what?
I use Ethernet. I don't use wireless internet. Right. I plug in. So this laptop's no good for me anyway. I mean, to be honest, I think this is their this is the laptop they get. I think this is for specific people. I think this is for people like who don't plug in a lot, who don't plug USB drives in. I think it's for students. I really do.
I'm going to disagree with that one. I'm going to disagree with that one for this particular reason. If it's one plug to rule them all, who are the people who have that philosophy? One plug, okay? Folks that utilize docking stations. This is the type of thing where somebody's going to go to work, pull their MacBook out, put it on the desk, one plug, boom. Three screens pop up, everything else boots in, done, okay? This is the next step in the docking station, my opinion, okay? I will gladly be proven wrong. But I think this is the next step of the docking station.
It might be their replacement for the MacBook Air as well. They might get rid of that line because right now they've got the new MacBook, they've got MacBook Air, MacBook Pro. So that's what? They've got three lines now?
Yeah. I would be surprised if the MacBook Air went away. I really would. Because in a university setting, the MacBook Air is the most commonly used Mac device on a university campus.
Thin and light, not so,
I'm not joking. It is so light. It's durable. I mean, it's got the ports you need to plug into a collaboration station. It's got the flash media. It's got the Thunderbolt. It's got everything you need. You know, it's solid state. I mean, really, Obi? What else do you need?
I suppose why I've not pulled the new trigger on a new MacBook Pro or Air, actually, or even an iMac, is I gotta admit, they released the new MacBook in different colors. Now I'm not a gold type of not really into the gold, but a space gray, man, that looks really nice. I gotta admit. So I'm waiting for their other lines to kind of get these new colors, because I think my next computer is definitely going to be an iMac. I've found myself watching a lot of videos online, like on YouTube and stuff, and I want that bigger screen. So I think iMac is, and if they release it in iMac in space gray, I think that's going to look pretty damn sexy.
27-inch iMac display, or are you going to go for the 44-inch iMac display?
No, I'm just going to go for the iMac, the bug standard all-in-one whole
the
iMac
all-in-one,
deal.
All-in-one unit?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting how that's evolved over the decades, isn't it? Remember when it looked like a pumpkin, or not a pumpkin, what was it? I don't know, ugly. It looked ugly to start.
The first version, it was pretty, okay.
All right. Okay, so we talked about the Apple Watch. We're kind of split as far as that goes. The MacBook, Obi, is this something you're watching with interest? Is this a wait and see, or where are you sitting on this one?
It's not for me. I'm not going to watch it with interest. What I am going to watch in interest, though, if they release the other colors and the other lines, that's what I'm waiting for the iMac refresh, I think. That's what I'm waiting for, because there's no point in me getting an iMac now, because I've specced one out, actually, and, specking out your own iMac, it gets very expensive, so I don't think I'm going to pull the trigger just yet, just in case they do release an iMac in space gray, because I would rather have an iMac. Instead of the normal grayish silver aluminium we got now, I want something different, so hopefully they release an iMac in space gray.
This is not something that interests me. The single port to do it all is not something that I'm a fan of.
And I want the trackpad's weird. It's not a, I don't know.
Yeah,
that,
it's,
this new,
yeah.
It's not a button, is it?
No,
like
it's not.
Got now. Like,
it's all sensitive. There's no,
I'm not sure I like that.
It's all pressure sensitive and you're opening yourself up to missed hits and everything. I mean, you're opening yourself up to a crap ton of problems.
See, for me, I'd rather have a physical finger, physical bone,
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I know where I'm at.
Yeah, I definitely understand that 100%. So, MacBook, I mean, we're similar on the same page of this. Some people, I know there's people that are out there that are looking at this going, oh my God, check it out. One plug, USB 3, that's it. Da, da, da. From the utility perspective, though, one plug isn't exciting to me unless I've got a docking station. Okay. If I were to buy this, it would be a school machine. It would go in my bag, back and forth with me to school. If I had to load media on it, okay, download some video files from an individual and store it on my computer or offload information or something like that, I got to carry around a stupid hub. You know, I'm sorry. You know, I am mobile for a reason. I record mobile. I deal with mobile technology. Why the hell would I want to carry around a stupid hub? That still doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. I think it's the first iteration of USB 3, and they swung once with FireWire, and I think they did very well with it.
Which they, my Mac has, by the way.
Right,
my,
yeah.
It has Mac and FireWire and Thunderbolt. It's a two-in-one thing.
Right. They swung with FireWire 2, and they missed big time. I mean, the industry wasn't ready for FireWire 2. They tried Thunderbolt.
Which kind of failed, didn't it?
Thunderbolt?
Yeah.
Everybody looked at it and said, proprietary Apple. Why do we need another proprietary Apple connection?
Yeah, well, the accessories were too expensive as well.
Yeah. You're not going to want to spend $100 for a hub. I mean, for a 5-port Thunderbolt hub, who in the hell can – I mean, I'm sure there's somebody that can, but it's another attempt at the one port to rule it all. Because you can run video through it. You can run a RAID system through it. It's got ass loads of throughput, okay? But
it just failed, didn't it?
The array is too expensive. The hub is expensive. Running it to all these monitors at once is going to cost money, okay? I mean, I can understand it from a production stance where if you have the studio set up for it already, you could walk in, plug in a Thunderbolt port, and everything powers up. Okay.
They used, speaking of ports, though, and I'm looking at mine now, they had mini display for a while.
Yes.
And now that's got mine has that.
Mm-hmm. You know? A lot of them do.
That died, didn't it? Mini display port.
Yeah, that didn't go very far. That made it, I believe, in the third-gen MacBook Air, maybe the second-gen. I don't remember. It was only in one generation, though.
Yeah, then they went to HDMI, I believe.
Yeah, HDMI or mini HDMI.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad they're going standard. This is what we need because, like, we can't have proprietary Apple. It's not cost-effective.
As things progress, and we're going to go ahead and jump off the rails on this one really quick and get into Windows 10. As things progress, things are becoming more streamlined, okay? USB has become more streamlined. FireWire has become more streamlined. Charging, wireless or wired, has become more streamlined. We don't need the proprietary plugins. Operating systems, even Obi-Wan, are becoming more streamlined, okay? Sure, you've got Samsung with their 500 different flavors of Android. But Apple changed the game 5 years ago when they started releasing their operating system updates for free. Now, Microsoft, in a huge step, has announced that Windows 10 is going to be available for free.
Even for pirates, I believe.
Even for unofficial copies of Windows XP, Windows 7, and Windows 8. Obi-Wan. Your great, thoughts on this move?
Who would have thought Windows, Microsoft Windows, would have been free? Mm-hmm. Free. People buy a new PC or laptop just to upgrade to Windows. That's how much Windows costs.
Right.
Because they'd rather get it for, like, bundled with their hardware, you know?
Right.
That's the old days. Free this time. And this is great news for me because not only that it's free, you know, everyone likes something for free, especially me, Poop Ninja, you know.
Yeah, free's always good. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
We love a bargain. And, but this gives me a chance to kind of try Windows again. I do have a Windows installed partition actually on my Mac. I hardly log into the thing because I don't need it. The Mac OS does everything I need. But I will be checking out Windows 10 because, and I'm really excited about this because they've got, you can, I don't know which way it works. Either Xbox One games are streamed from the Xbox or vice versa. I don't know which way it works, but I'm very excited to try that.
This is definitely something that I'm watching with interest. Mr. Old School and I, last week, we discussed at length the Microsoft innovation and how the Ballmer era is officially over.
Right.
And how the new command structure of Microsoft gets it.
Mm.
Okay.
And I want to say, speaking of why we're on this topic, I'm glad we're on Microsoft because I know an Apple. I know an Apple guy, but I try everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I tried Microsoft OneDrive recently,
uh-huh.
And it is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, yes. I agree.
People listening to this wouldn't have thought an Apple guy like myself, not even hardcore Apple guy, but pretty intense Apple guy, coming on your show and saying, and Microsoft product is great.
Obi,
you know?
I have ranted and railed for a good 95, 96 episodes of Trending Mobile Technology against Microsoft. I have, over one thing or another. I've gone on other podcasts and ranted and railed against Microsoft for one thing or another, okay? When Microsoft OneDrive was released for all platforms, they made it available at the university. And they made it available to all students, plus 15 gigs of cloud storage to use per semester.
Yeah,
it's part of my tuition. Comes out of my tuition.
Oh.
And I tell you what, being a longstanding Google Drive cloud advocate, I was like, I will give it a try, okay? Because Mr. Old School, he has been gung-ho. He has advocated for Microsoft. He has told me to keep an open mind. He has been encouraging and supportive. He's like, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. You might be a dick, but you are entitled to your opinion. You know, just give it time. Be patient when it happens. You know, it's going to happen. And keep an open mind. And that was the biggest thing that he encouraged me to do. And after using Microsoft OneDrive for a complete semester, I will tell you, it is a good product.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? I mean,
the OneDrive product is leaps and bounds ahead of iOS, and it fills in the gaps that the Google Drive service doesn't have.
Exactly, and 15 gigs for free. And
yeah.
What I can do as well, because I've got an Xbox One, I think it works on 360, is I can access pictures on my Xbox One as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I could do slideshows on there.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And I can't speak of it enough because it's like you said, it's available on all phones.
It
you know,
works.
It's on iOS, and it really does work.
It works.
And,
the thing that really set me off on this was I'm a big spreadsheet guy, okay? When Google Drive upgraded and started releasing Sheets, which is their Excel type program, I was excited about that because, you know, oh, I can program these sheets on the go and do this and program that and calculate these spreadsheets and that spreadsheet and keep track of this and that. When OneDrive came out, and understand, I don't use the desktop version of Office. I do it all in the cloud, okay? All of it. When OneDrive came out and I set up my account and I started designing a spreadsheet, I realized that the cloud service of Excel, just in using it for not even a complete day, I realized in a very short amount of time that cloud version of Excel is more powerful than Google Sheets. Hands down, it's the real deal.
No, we've not even scratched the surface of OneDrive.
Yeah,
because it's got Word on there.
Oh yeah, it's got Word. It's got Excel. OneNote. It's got that new PowerPoint. I can never remember what the hell it is. Slides or panels or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
You know, Access. It's got it all right there.
It's great.
And it's the real deal. It's not some type of hybrid. It's the actual Microsoft Office.
Yeah.
It's free. And it works.
And, you know, we'll get onto this in a bit, but when I got my – and I can happily easily sit here and use Apple's Reserve Numbers pages.
Right.
Because I got them free when I got my new phone.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I just don't use them, you know, and I just think OneDrive kind of just fills the whole – I just think it fills the whole gap. And, you know, it's great. I can't speak highly of it enough, and I use it a lot. Like, really, well, you know, I've even got PS3 game saves on there, you know. It's fantastic.
I have, and you touched on this a little bit, and I'm just going to swing this one home. I honestly have no use, since I started using OneDrive, right now I have no use for Apple's iCloud. Sorry. Understand something. Right. It pains me to say that, okay? I don't like saying that, but yeah. Where I am a solid Android guy, and you know, I've delved into iPad and started getting into that work for various other reasons. With the faults that are out there with iCloud, OneDrive satisfies those faults without any issue, and I can't argue against that reasoning. I can't, you know, I don't need three cloud services.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of an account to come up with that. But the thing with me is for iCloud, my contacts live there. So, I mean, I've not done that transition yet. I mean, I don't know if OneDrive has contact support.
When it comes to Windows 10.
Okay. Yeah.
It might, because it's supposed to be everything together.
Right.
Okay.
But iCloud so far has been working for me. But, however, I will say this. Recently, it's not been working. The keychain has not been working for me on iCloud. It's been giving me problems because I did switch over to a new phone. I'm having issues with it. I need to contact Apple. I rarely contact Apple, but this one I have to contact Apple. Keychain is giving me headache. So
really, is it the cloud keychain that's giving you problems?
Yeah, it's because I've switched devices and I can't verify it on the old device because I've not got a SIM card in it, so I can't get the verification code to verify it, and it's a nightmare. And I can't turn it off on Mac OS X 10.
Uh-huh.
I've tried to turn it off, but it won't turn off. Because I do have a password. I don't use Keychain as my main password. I use LastPass.
Yeah.
I refuse to use Keychain as my password manager.
Need
to.
Right.
Because LastPass kind of takes care of it.
LastPass does it all for you. Now, you've mentioned a couple times already that you've upgraded your device.
Yes.
You went from the iPhone 4... all the way up to the iPhone 6, is that correct?
It was the iPhone 4S.
The iPhone 4S, I'm sorry.
Which I've still got, because for some reason, I just think I want to keep hold of it because it was kind of like sentimental like for me, because it was the last device Steve Jobs worked on.
Right.
So for me, it kind of holds that thing. It holds holds some value to me, which is kind of sad. But I don't know. I just like the whole that was the last device he worked on. I just think keeping hold of it is to me, you know, it's a cool thing. But yeah, I did it. Yeah, 4S to 6, big jump.
Big jump. Not only size, but also operating system and specifications.
Oh well, so, I was on iOS 8 on 4S, yeah. They supported iOS 8.
I didn't know that.
So I was used to the whole. So the only thing that was the difference was the screen size. Now I will say this, I did pre-order the 6 Plus at first when it came out, so I got it on release day, and it was too big. I just wasn't used to it, you know. That screen was just awful to type.
It's a big phone.
Especially coming from a 4S, a little 3.5 phone.
It's a big phone.
Going all the way to a Plus.
I'm not joking. It is big.
It's a tablet. And why I got the Plus was because, okay, games. I play a few games here and there. So I thought, okay, for games, you need that screen real estate sometimes, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I didn't realize typing's going to be a chore on it. So I just thought, and Apple were really good about it. I've called them and said, I just can't deal with this phone. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to send it back to you. And they say, yeah, it's fine. They were happy to take it back. So anyway, got my money back. And then, I went to the 6. I pulled the trigger after, a month or two. And I pulled the trigger and I got the 6. And, yeah, I'm happy with it. I will say what kind of annoys me about iOS is the notification center. Not really a fan, actually.
Really?
No, because on Android, and I hate to turn this, I don't want to turn this into Android versus iOS, but with this I feel as though I have to go there, because on Android I can kill all notifications in one go.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know
yes.
what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I can't do that on iOS. I have to go through each one and close them, and it's so annoying, you know, because sometimes I look at notifications and I won't deal with it straight away. I'll just forget about it, you know? Like, I'll get a notification for a game, like, saying, oh, there's a special offer on blah de blah. I won't even open the game, you know? So what happens is they accumulate these notifications, and when they accumulate, you've got to go through them, you've got to press X, X, X. It's just so annoying, you know? You don't have time for that. So on Android, you can just press, you know what I mean? Like, you can press the...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the tech. There's a button. There's a free line.
Yeah, it's a hash. It's a stack menu. I don't know exactly what it's called. The three dots like, is a hamburger is it, menu, but...
Yeah, it's an italics hamburger menu.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah,
it's a hamburger button in italics, basically. That's what I don't like. But apart from that, iOS is iOS. I mean, nothing else has changed on it. Don't like the new color scheme. I still think that sucks. But I said that last time, I think.
Yeah.
You know. But no, it's pretty much typing's fine on this thing, and I don't think I'll upgrade my phone now for another 3 years, maybe.
Right, right. That'll put you at probably 8 or 9 land, whichever, you know, if they do, if at the current trend, if they release one phone a year.
Yep.
This year's will be the 7, next year will be the 8, and then the year after that will be the 9.
Yeah.
So you got the 6 versus the 6 Plus. The 6 Plus, you said, was too big at 5.5 inches. Current trend is between 5.5 and 6 inches. The iPhone 6 Plus was 5.5 inches. The Nexus 6 is 5.9 inches. There's the Galaxy S6, which is 5.75 inches, and then
which,
you got
which
very.
They're saying,
do I?
The Samsung phone you just mentioned there, the whatever it was, 6S.
Yes.
Is they're saying this the greatest phone of all time?
Greatest phone of all times. Now that the embargo is lifted, and people can start releasing their reviews, their actual hands-on reviews with this device, they are now saying Samsung has improved TouchWiz greatly, because at one time, before the embargo was lifted, all they had was the hands-on at the release event.
I'll tell you how they can improve it. Just release a freaking Google version of it.
Yeah,
don't
good
give
luck
me this
with that.
TouchWiz.
Yeah, good luck with that. Samsung's not going to let go of TouchWiz. Despite
TouchWiz,
what everybody says.
TouchWiz is terrible. I had the S4. Got rid of it.
Yeah.
I'm glad they've gone, don't get me wrong, I'm glad they've gone using better materials now for the phone, but it took them 6 generations.
Yeah.
Took Apple what, you know? Like I said, I don't want to turn this into Apple versus Android, but I'm just saying, you know, it took them a long time to kind of realize people don't want cheap phones anymore. People, you want to, when you hold a phone or any device, and this is why I use Apple products, because when you hold it in your hand, it feels quality. You know, yeah, you might have overpaid for it, but at the end of the day, you want to hold something that's nice, that feels nice in your hands.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is why I use their products.
Hey, you brought up a few good points on that concerning the Samsung, you know, unapologetically plastic or you know, advancing to aluminium, as you folks say it across the pond. It's still aluminum to me. Sorry. We could sit and we could go back and forth, and I could lose an entire lifetime combating Apple to Samsung. And And the funniest thing, I read an article the other day after the Galaxy S6 was lifted on embargo and people started releasing it. A lot of people are saying it's a great phone, you know, it beat our expectations, and I will give a complete breakdown of the Galaxy S6 next week when I get back on track. But a lot of people are saying, and when I read this out of Forbes, I was stunned. But there was an article that was published in Forbes magazine, and usually these guys are pretty on key, all right? If it's coming out of Forbes, they're pretty close to spot on. Not quite as close as like CNET or the Twit Network or something like that, but they're pretty damn close, okay? They said, quote, "The Samsung Galaxy S6 is the best iPhone that you will ever buy," end quote.
I'm sorry, I've got to disagree with that.
I disagree with that as well. But if we look back at the history of Samsung, Obi-Wan, okay, for years, whether it be Broadway Productions with the Galaxy S3 and all the bullshit sci-fi stuff that they did, you know, with their multicasting and all the other crazy crap that they've done.
I remember coming on your show talking about that Broadway.
Oh my God, we ripped that apart. I don't know how many times I've brought Samsung under fire. But you also remember how we've also discussed how nobody can deliver a keynote like Steve Jobs. And for years, Samsung was on top of the heap. And then Apple beat them out. And then Samsung would get back on top. And then Apple would beat them out. And Samsung has constantly been trying to be Apple. And they failed. Well, now they finally got it. People are finally saying that the Samsung product is an iPhone. And people, and unfortunately, well, fortunately, maybe unfortunately, I don't know which, it's biting them in the ass because people are putting their Samsung devices down and picking up the new iPhones and saying, oh, this looks just like my Samsung Galaxy device. Oh, guess what? It works better. I'll just stick with this.
Right. See, that, you that's know? They kind of shot themselves in the foot with it. They say that it's it's the greatest iPhone, but software-wise, yeah, it might have the material. I might have the aluminium and so forth, but
TouchWiz can't keep up with iOS, Obi-Wan.
No, does it have the software? This is where I'm going. I'm sorry, you cannot for a normal average user who doesn't follow tech. Right. iOS is the best solution for them. I've been looking at Windows Phone just to kind of jump. A bit here.
Right.
I've been looking at Windows phones lately, all right? The price point of these things is very good. I've got to admit, it's kind of tempting me to try one and come on your show and talk about it because the price point to get into Windows phone is very cheap, like the Nokias and all sorts. So they're freely available on their website, Microsoft's website. You can happily buy them.
Right.
And they don't cost like $500. I mean, some do. But you're talking like with Nokias with good cameras there, you know.
Right.
But I am very tempted to try Windows Phone.
I am watching with interest what Windows does. I'm very interested to see what their flagship device is going to be. With their recent announcement of Windows 10, now I'm still not a fan of the layout, like the tiles and stuff like that.
Well, I'm used to that because it's kind of like similar to the Xbox One, so I'm used to it now.
But the whole thing is, and Obi-Wan said, or not Obi-Wan, Mr. Old School said it perfectly last week. These guys get it. Satya Mandela gets it. The Ballmer era is gone. This is the Satya Mandela era, and this guy gets it. He does. I mean, he's put the force of Microsoft where it needs to be, and it needs to be geared toward the user and toward the business. And this is exactly what put Microsoft on the map to start with. And when Ballmer came in, you know, we've said it plenty of times. In this industry, you get one, two, maybe three mistakes before you're going to get capped, you know. And Ballmer, he just kept making mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. Satch Mandela, in the year that he's been in the captain's chair, he has started to turn that business around. And to where a guy like me, who has advocated against Microsoft for greater than 10 years, okay? My oldest son is 13 years old. I was advocating against Microsoft before he was born, okay? For an individual who has advocated against Microsoft for that long is now peeking his eyebrows and watching a story by Microsoft with interest, that is saying something.
I think I looked at their Pro, their Surface Pro line.
Yes.
Well, I don't think that's for me because it is very pricey.
It is.
But it does have an audience.
It has an audience.
Yeah.
It is something, and it doesn't work for me. Don't get me wrong. All the different plugins and usability and use cases that's available for the Surface Pro, it has its place. And while it might not be for me, I can look at that and say, yeah, it might not work for me, but I know exactly where that'll fit. I know exactly what that can do. I know how this can work. And it's something, the progression that Microsoft is making is exciting to me. The advancements that they're making. I mean, I've ranted and railed, I don't know how many times, against Microsoft because of one mistake or another. And some people support what I say, other people shoot it down. And opinions and assholes, everybody's got one.
Yep.
Okay? And I can gladly say right now, Microsoft has started to turn this ship around. Okay?
Yep. I've never had a problem with Microsoft because I've always, you know, the whole, going back to the whole console.
Right.
I want to say this, like, I want to make this very clear. I prefer the Xbox side of things.
Right.
You know, because just the way they did things, especially when we were in last gen, you know, when it was 360 and PS3, I preferred the Xbox side of things, just the way they did things, updates and so forth. It was a lot smoother than PS3. Let's jump to this generation now, the PS4 and Xbox One. I still prefer Xbox One.
Right.
I'm not saying anything bad about the PlayStation. I have a PlayStation 4. Don't use it as much, but I'm not saying it's a bad console. It's a very good console, but I just don't prefer it right now.
With the advancements that Microsoft is making.
Exactly.
I will watch this with interest. I'm not going to say I'm going to wind up going back to Microsoft, okay, because I've been a Mac guy and it just, Mac fits my use case better.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be buying, unless I'm going to get a gaming PC, I don't think I'll ever, anytime soon, I'll be a PC guy.
Yeah, but it is something that I can watch with interest because the announcement, Microsoft, the Windows 10 announcement that they had a couple months ago really piqued my interest. Now, unfortunately, and there's a caveat here, unfortunately, Microsoft has the very important duty now to follow through. Because if they can't follow through, everything that they've worked up to this point will be a moot point. Now, the caveat to the caveat in this case is Satya Mandela gets it. Mr. Old School said it, and I agree with him. Yes, I agree with Mr. Old School on this one. These new guys, they get it. They've got Microsoft going the right direction. And I'm going to continue to watch the Windows mobile industry with interest. Am I likely to go to Microsoft for mobile tech anytime in the near future? Probably not. But it is now something that is interesting to me. It is something that has caught my attention. And things that catch my attention in this industry are very interesting. You know what I'm saying, sir?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be watching them with interest as well. And especially this whole Windows 10. And that it's free, you know, because it's only free for a certain time. It's not free forever, you know. So, you know, flag that on your downloads.
Yeah, keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on it. As we get ready to gear this down, Obi, we have violated the 90-minute mark on this call so far. We did touch on a little bit. Go ahead and give me your breakdown. Super Mario Brothers coming to the Android environment. Take it away, sir.
Well, that's what they're speculating. Nintendo's finally, they've gone to a developer called DNA or DENA, and Japanese, very famous in the Japanese mobile market, and they're saying, yeah, we're going to get Nintendo games, quote-unquote, games on iOS and Android, maybe even Windows Phone, I don't know. But no, people are speculating it's going to be, you're going to get, the investors want them to put Super Mario on iOS and all the others, but no, I don't think we're going to get that. I think we're going to get more like companion apps, you know, companion games. After, I don't think we're going to get full-fledged Super Mario, because it doesn't make sense, you know, to have Super Mario on these devices, on mobile devices. I mean, who would want to buy them again? I mean, if you've got the cartridge, why would you want to buy it again as well? No, I think we're going to get companion apps. I really do. I don't think we're going to get full-fledged games because, I mean, they don't want to take away business from the 3DS, if that makes sense, you know? They don't want to take away those games from there and start putting them onto mobile device. It makes no sense to me, and I think they're too late to this as well, in my opinion. They've come to it a bit late. They should have done this a lot sooner. But maybe they were just watching the market, maybe, and seeing how it folds out. But there's too many games on the mobile device, you know? I just think they've come to it way too late now. There's other games out there. Sorry, go ahead.
We touched on this in the pre-show a little bit. Do you have game emulators on your phone?
Yes.
Don't you?
Yeah, I've got a few. I've got a Genesis, okay, Mega Drive, Super Nintendo as well on Android. Yeah.
I have the Super Nintendo downloaded on my Nexus 7. I have the matter of fact, that's the only one that I have. I also have a couple Mario games downloaded on my Nexus 6. Is there any provoking for you as an emulator individual, as a person who's knowledgeable in the gaming industry, is there any desire to support this move by Nintendo in any way, shape, or form? I mean, also taking into consideration, you are also a Wii U owner.
Yes.
So
and a 3DS owner.
And a 3DS owner.
I support Nintendo. I like their games. Uh-huh. Growing up, I didn't have the Super Nintendo. I was a Sega person.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to play these games, which I missed out. It's great to play these games. I just don't think we're going to get Super Mario. I don't think it's a case of just saying, oh, Super Mario's on iOS. I don't think it's a case of that. I think it's going to be more like companion apps. I don't know, maybe free games, free Pokemon games or something. I know there's a Pokemon game you can get right now on iOS. I think it's going to be games. There was a game on 3DS recently that you had to match three pairs of things. I forgot what it's called. I don't know what it was called, but it was a free game.
Uh-huh.
I think we need to get little games like that. I think we need to get 2-minute games, you know, where you stood in a queue somewhere and it ties into your whole Nintendo ID and all that.
Right.
Because you do know they're killing off Club Nintendo. They're killing that program off, you know, where you get rewarded.
Right, they're killing off the rewards program, right.
Yeah, they're killing that off, so...
Well, 3 years of failure with it, I mean, it only makes sense.
Well, I redeemed my stuff, but I've not redeemed physical products yet.
Right.
Which I'm going to do before this thing shuts down, you know, I mean, why not? I mean, I'd like to have a Mario rucksack or whatever the hell they're going to send me.
You know?
I mean, why not? If the thing is going away, so...
It's a collector's item. Anything Mario has turned into a household name, and it's a collector's item. I mean, exactly. That's the bottom line on that one.
I just think we're going to get quick games, like card games. I think we're going to get things like that on this. I don't think we're going to get full-fledged... you know, I'd love to see games like Super Mario on, you know, but I just don't think we're going to get it. Because how can you do a platformer game with touch controls, you know?
Right. You mentioned companion apps. So yeah. What if they do like mini games? You know how like Super Mario Party has mini games built into it?
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to be. Okay. I think it's going to be those mini games where you might even have to, you know, like a free to play.
Gotcha.
I think they're going to have a free-to-play model. I don't think we're going to get full-fledged games because, like I said, they're not going to want to take away their 3DS audience, you know? They've already got another console in the works anyway, codenamed NX.
Yeah, which kind of – I'm going to have to wait and see that one before I pass judgment on it. But that's gonna be kind of weird. I'm not quite sure what Nintendo's doing with this. I mean, they've got the Wii U. As Brian from Toons would say, this might be the Wii Sorry. The next iteration. I'm not quite sure, but
as long as these games, what they put onto mobile, are free, which I think they will be. I think they'll be free.
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense because a lot of people who are in the know have these games already emulated and installed for free.
People like collectors, like Poot Ninja, they've got the real console, you know?
Right.
They don't need this.
Exactly.
They could easily just fire it up on a Nintendo proper system, you know?
Yeah, so. Exactly. Well, Obi-Wan, we're getting real close to that two-hour call violation here, and I do need to get my day started. I got to get ready for work. We've touched today on the Apple Watch. We talked about the MacBook. We broke down the Galaxy S6 as well as Windows and Nintendo, and ironically, we figured out a way to tie it all into mobile technology. As we get ready to put a lid on this one, Obi-Wan, go ahead and give me plugs and shout-outs.
Just a couple on Twitter, Obi-Wan Jabroni, that's without an I, an E. If you want to, on Twitter, I don't use it. I'm not really a Twitter person, but I do follow people back and I will respond to any tweets because they do come through on my phone. So I will respond. Second plug is the usual VOG network where you can check in and all that good stuff. And it's an independent network, so they're not getting any, they're not IGN, you know, or anything like that. And they've got good shows on there. So, check those out. And that's about it. I plug my podcast, but we don't do it anymore. So,
well, you know something? I've gotten myself back into the guests. And you'll always be welcome over here on Mobile Tech, Obi-Wan Jabroni. And as always, once again, thank you very much, sir, for showing up today. This show, like many others right here on the Trending Topics Network, you can find it. We are the home of the hashtag. This is Trending Mobile Technology. We are the Trending Topics Network. Check in every day, folks, because you never know what is going to be trending next. And I know I say it every time and you hear it an awful lot, but it is true. Check in every day. We are constantly adding new content. We've constantly got new stuff coming in. We've constantly got new content going out. Just check in every day because you never know what is going to be trending next. For my co-host today, once again, thank you very much, Obi-Wan Jabroni, for gracing me with your presence and giving me the 411 on the Apple world. I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.